to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
How many of you are tired? Just look at them. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. How many of you are not tired? Let's see. How many are not tired? All right. A number of you not tired. We had our business meeting last night. Many of you didn't come. We had our business meeting last night at 2 o'clock. It was short. It was very short. No, time changed at 2 o'clock last night. And I want to talk to you a little bit about time. Everybody say time. And we, people have funny ideas. I've told you over and over, when the first time they did the time change, they added an hour, and the farmers literally marched on Washington afraid that the extra hour of sunlight would burn up their crops. That was a big deal. It's a true story. You can read it up. And they didn't understand that Washington has a lot of power, but it doesn't have the power to change time. Everybody said they can't change time. But there is someone in the universe that can change time. I had a video. I was going to get to it, but I didn't want to do it. There's an old video. How many ever watched the old movie Sergeant York? Anybody remember Sergeant York? You remember Sergeant York? That's some predates some of you. And in it, they sang an old song. How many remembers the old song, When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound and Time Will Be No More? And I want to talk to you this morning on that phrase. Go ahead and put Revelation up. It says, And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, on the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be what? Time no longer. And I want to take that phrase this morning. I want to talk to you about when time will no longer be. I think when time will be no more. When time will be no more. Did you know there will be a time, if I even say it that way, that time will be no more? No more time. Come on. No more time changes. No more losing an hour. There will be a time when there will be no more time. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our mental capacities. Lord, just let us understand. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's going to be a time when there will be no time. It's something like that. All right, you can be seated. I want to talk to you today about a way of God that is different than us. Isaiah says it this way. We got a lot to cover. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways what? My ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. How many believe that God's ways are higher than our ways? There is an understanding that there is a God, and his ways are higher than our ways. That there are some things that we assume are the only way it could be. And God says, no, no, I have a way that is above your way. I know you understand how things are, the way of things on the earth. But God says there is a way higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Psalms 103 and verse 7. He made known his what? His ways to Moses and his what? His acts to the people of Israel. That is, they only saw God act. They didn't know God's ways. And Moses, who the Bible says, Isaiah says, my ways are higher than your ways. The Bible says God made known to Moses his ways, which were different than the ways of the earth. There are things that we think can never change. They're solid. They're just absolutely the way they have to be. And God says, no, that's your way. My way is higher than your way. There is a way that you think. There's a way that you think is right, but it's not. So you have to understand there is a way that is higher than our ways. God made known to Israel only the acts, but to Moses he made known the ways. Now, 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote and said this. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not the wisdom of this age or the wisdom or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for had they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, they didn't understand what they were doing. The way of man was, just kill him, we'll be done with it. And God says that was their way, but there was a way higher than their way. That was really my purpose to start with. What they thought was for evil really was for, come on somebody, was for good. So they didn't understand the way of God. They was doing it their way. That's the way you do. You don't like somebody, somebody's giving you a problem. Murder them, kill them, crucify them, get them out of the way. And God says, yet that was the way of man. But God says, but there's a higher way that literally, he says, if they'd known my wisdom, the secret, if they'd known my way, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory, nor the heart. But it's written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But notice this, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but by taught by this. There is more wisdom than just human wisdom. There is more ways than just human ways. Taught by human, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person, notice this, does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are folly to him. Now listen, what I'm about to tell you this morning, if you're in the natural, you're going to think it's folly. You're going to say, it's really silly. It's folly. Because the natural, there are ways of God that are above our ways, that the Bible says the natural man is going to say, that's folly. That's silly. I don't believe that. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it happens. Come on, can I get an amen this morning? They're folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Spirit, mind of the Lord, so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, there are things that God can teach us that we can break loose from this world's ways and this world's wisdom. There are things the Lord does, things the Lord wants to do. The ways of God are so much higher than ours. You have to understand one thing. We live in two worlds. When you gave your life to the Lord, you suddenly began to inhabit another realm as well as the physical realm. The Bible says you are born from on high. Literally, when Jesus said you must be born again, the Greek was you must be born from on high. And you begin to walk a life that you've got one foot in the physical and one foot in the spiritual. You live a life that's both spiritual and physical. And if you're not careful, because we're so used to the physical, we think the physical world is the dominant world. And the Bible says that's the one that's going to pass away one day. It's the other world that's going to last forever. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so you've got to get to the place where you begin to understand you're going to live in another realm one day. This world will pass away. Everything we see and touch and feel and hear is going to pass away one day. It is not permanent. It may appear to be. It may appear to be the dominant realm, but it is not the dominant realm. The spiritual realm is the dominant realm. That is the realm that's going to last forever. That's the one that's going to happen. But when we're born again, we enter into a kingdom that's not governed by bricks and mortar. When we're born again, we enter into a kingdom that is governed by the laws of God, the ways of God that is above our ways, above the wisdom of the world, above the way things happen on this life. And if we're not careful, we'll allow this life, since we grew up in it and live in it every day, we will let it to be the dominant thinking and controlling in our thinking. And yet the Bible says we're in another realm. One seems fixed, the other seems fluid. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you see the wind, it blows and it comes and you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. And all you see is the effects of it. And it's not as you can't grab a hold of wind. It's something that's fluid. It's something that's not as easy to get around as something physical. It's at the same time, it's just something, it's like water. You put your hand in water and you can't grasp it. You bring it back out. You're affected by it, but you can't grab hold of it. And that's the way the spirit realm is. It's fluid. It's not as stable as this world is. In fact, Jesus, many times he would be walking by the seashore, and you saw him, he'd be as if it was the place where two worlds came together. It's where the sea met the land. It's where it wasn't completely dry, yet it wasn't completely wet. And because Jesus lived, he himself was a contradiction in terms of he was God and yet he was man. He wasn't 50% God and 50%, he was 100%, 100%. And there is this coming together of the spirit realm that we fight many times. We deal with healing. We deal with guidance from the Lord. We deal with these things because we're running in two different worlds. And so there becomes to be this place where Mark 11 and 23, Jesus said it this way. I like it because he said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, we're talking about mountains today, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the what? I always like it because there was something in the physical now going to be thrown into that which is fluid. It's that which is when the spirit is always spoken of. It's spoken of being poured out as if it were water. It's always being identified with a liquid. And so when Jesus said there's coming a day when by faith you can say to the mountain that you're facing, be cast up and thrown into the sea. And I believe that's where your physical is going to be swallowed up by the spiritual. Because there's many mountains, we know that now because of all the earthquakes and things taking place. There's many mountains that have been engulfed by the ocean. Because, I like to use that as an analogy for the sea. And it's a spirit realm is going to swallow up the physical. And because God is going to begin to teach us to let the spirit realm be the dominant realm of your life. Instead of being natural and walking natural and getting saved and just becoming moral, God wants you to become moral, but salvation is so much more than that. It's beginning to learn to walk in the spirit realm. Beginning to learn to walk in the not just having miracles happen all the time in your life, but walking in an understanding the dominant realm of my life is a spirit realm. I am walking in the flesh. I'm here in the flesh, but it's not the eternal. It's not going to last. I have been born again. There is within me a spirit that is the dominant force of my body. My spirit is going to rule over my flesh and over my mind. I'm going to let it begin. And so what happens is you begin to speak to the mountains of your life to be swallowed up by that which is invisible, that which is fluid. And God wants us to change. Listen, but here's the key. In doing that, there's one thing I want to get on my mind today to teach on was time, because time changed last night. And as I said, Washington has no power at all to literally steal an hour from us. We did not lose an hour. We're just playing with time, with the clock management. But what happens is this. We do serve a creator that is able to deal with time. And it's beyond our comprehension because we think it's one of those untouchables. We think we watch movies about time machines and going back in and black holes and wormholes and all that. And we see these things and we think, oh, how it would be and da, da, da. I'm going to tell you, we serve a God that time is he's over it all. He does it. And so we've got to get that in our brain. So God's going to fix, listen, you think there's some things unfixable because of this thing called time. I'm going to tell you, you serve a God that time is of no consequence to him in fixing what needs to be fixed in your life. Oh, I've been too long. I've wasted too many years. I've blown this. I've blown that. My kids are here. My kids are there. Let me tell you, you serve a God that time is no bearing on him. He's not older now than he was when you first got saved. He's not older now than he was in the days of Abraham. He's not older now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he does is God comes in. He says, listen, I'm going to change some things in your life that you think is absolutely impossible because of this thing called time. And this morning I want to teach you about that. I want to show you what the God we serve and what he does. You know, one of the keys about life is we are regulated by time so constantly, from work to you know, like this weekend. But listen, God does not live in time. God, believe this or not, did not appear in the universe and have to deal with this thing that was already here called time. God was before was. Come on, somebody. God was before anything. In the beginning was God. And God himself is the one who created this thing we call time. Time did not exist. Time was not something that God appeared on the scene and had to deal with this thing called time. God has always been, the Isaiah says, from everlasting to everlasting. And God decided one time to, I can say it that way, God decided to create time. He created time. It wasn't something he had to deal with. He created this thing we call time, where there begin to be seasons. God is not bound by sunrises and sunsets. God created it. Time was not created to govern God. God created time to govern you and I. God didn't create it and then all of a sudden it was some monster out of control and it engulfed him and now he is subject to it. He created time and time is at his disposal. He can start it, he can stop it, he can do away with it. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there will be a time when there'll be no more time. There will be a time when time will no longer matter. God is not bound by the seasons. We see time as linear. God sees it as circular. It's not something that he's going. Ecclesiastes 3, one of my favorite scriptures, says he's made everything beautiful in its time. Everybody say time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Go to the next scripture. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. You know what that means? That means that God is in, God is not just, it says, that which has already been is yet to be with the Lord. That means God is not on a linear basis. God is on a circular basis as far as time is concerned. Let me say it another way. Revelation 21, let me say it this way. It's better. He said to me, it is done. Does he say right here, I'm at the Alpha and I am at the Omega? Is that what he says? What does he say? I am what? I am the Alpha and I, he didn't say I'm at the beginning and I'm at the end. Nor did he say Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He didn't say I'm at the start, I'm at the finish. He said, I'm literally, God is not at those. He is those things. Before God was, before time was, God was. God doesn't have a yesterday and a tomorrow. So let me say this way. God stands outside of time. Let me say it another way. God stands in the midst of time and time is flowing all around him. Time is not something that once it goes, it cannot be retrieved. Because before it ever happens or after it's happened, God is there before it ever happens. God is not looking at my today as much as he's looking at my entire life. Because let me tell you, he's not at the end. He is the end. And that which is yet has already been with the Lord. Oh, I don't know, Pat. His ways are above our ways. The natural man thinks it folly, the things about God. Because this is how it works. It's got to work this way. You know, in John 10, Lazarus died and Mary and Martha come and talk to him. And they tell him, Lord, if you'd only been here. And he says, if you believe, your brother will live again. And he says, and they said, we know he's going to live at the resurrection. And Jesus looks at them and says, I am the resurrection. Come on, somebody. They thought the resurrection was a date. They didn't know the resurrection is a man. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you that the resurrection is not some date? The resurrection is a man. He is the Alpha. God has control of all time. He sees our past, our present, our future, all as one. Listen, so we don't realize that since we can't do anything about yesterday, that God can't do something about yesterday. Boy, I wish I'd just raise my children. And we think because we can't do anything about yesterday, then we think that God cannot do anything about yesterday. Can I tell you, he lives in yesterday. He is the Alpha. Not only is he the Omega, he's the beginning. He lives in the beginning. He is in our yesterday is as real to him as our tomorrow will be. He's not bound by time. He's the same yesterday. Everybody say yesterday. We always use that scripture by saying that makes him the same today. But he doesn't say that. It says he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He occupies yesterday. He occupies today. He occupies tomorrow. He's the God that which has been has already, that which is yet to be has already been, and that which has already been is yet to be with him. He dwells outside of, he's not limited to it. So I can tell you something about God. God can reach into your yesterday, make your past come around and serve your future. Every misery can become a ministry. Every mistake become a miracle. Come on, somebody. He can do what we cannot do. I don't know about all that, Pastor. Because don't let the physical become the dominant realm that you believe in. Begin to say, okay, God, I want to know your way. I don't want to be like the children of Israel that just knew your acts. I want to know your ways. I'm telling you one of the ways of God. God can take it and do something in your life. God is not governed by time. That's why Paul wrote in Ephesians 5. You ever read this? It says, redeeming. Everybody say redeeming. That means to buy back. To redeem, you know, we used to go to the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Store. You could take what you had spent and you could buy back. And Paul spoke about redeeming the time, buying back the time. We can listen, because time is not something that we think is like in our lives. When you begin born again, there are things that God can do that we don't think, never understood. God is not bound by time. Let me show you this in harvest. In Genesis 8, one of the ways it used to work was while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And what it means is this, seed time and harvest is you sow a seed, you wait some time, and then you get a harvest. That's the way it works. That's the way time works. That's the way our realm works. You sow a seed, you wait some time. And I told you the story of what happened with Samuel. Samuel out in California planted some watermelon seed. And he would go out and he planted it. And the next day he went out there to see what it was. And there's nothing. One of his sons, Danny, who's very mischievous, went to the store and bought a watermelon and brought it out there and put it right there in that spot. Samuel came out amazed. Woo! Come on, somebody. But that's not the way it naturally works. You plant a seed, waters, and time. But as time passes, it comes out, sprouts, leaves, and then it grows. And then you harvest sometime later. All right, that's the way that it normally happens. But can I tell you something? That's not the way it has to happen. Oh, listen. You plant this. God said at the end, I'm going to take time out of the equation. In fact, look what he said in John 4:35. He said this among, he says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are already white unto harvest. He said, I'm taking time out of the equation in this realm. He said, I know that the normal cycle is there's 4 months and then that time frame of 4 months, then there's a harvest. But he said, I'm telling you, lift up your eyes. I've taken time out of the equation. The fields are already white unto harvest right now. If you begin to look, begin to get out of this realm, instead of seed time and harvest, it'll be seed and harvest. While you're planting seed with one hand, you're having to harvest with the other hand. You know, like look what Amos said to say, Amos 9. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake what? The plowman will overtake the reaper. And the treader of grapes on him who sows seed, the mountain shall drip. He said, there's going to come a time when I'm going to suspend time. There come a time when the plowman is going to overtake the reapers. That literally before you ever get it all off the ground, it's time to plow it back up again. Normally you plow and then you wait months and then there's a harvest and then you wait some more months and then you plow it back up. God said, I'm removing, I'm literally, listen, everybody say suddenly. You know what? Suddenly God can do something in your life. Do not think and do not be bound by the things of this world. One of the most unique stories in the book of John. And it was a story of a wedding. And it was a story when Jesus came with all of his disciples, and it must have been a relative's wedding. I want you to read this with me because I'll show you this. When the wine ran out, which was a legal issue in that day, if you embarrassed when the wine ran out, whoever was responsible for the wedding could be in trouble. The wine ran out, the mother of Jesus, everybody say the mother of Jesus, said to him, and the word said in the Greek is an emphatic. It's not one of these she just kind of casually said. It meant emphatic. She came to him and said, literally in the Greek, it means do something about this. Now watch this story unfold. Came to Jesus, said to him, they have no wine. And notice what Jesus said. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My what? My hour, speaking of time. Wasn't time yet. My hour has not yet come. So he's saying to her, it's a time issue. There's a time. Now, you've got to get this because, which would mean I'm not going to do anything because it's not my time yet. And as I said, it meant she pressed on him, this word said. And I don't know about you, my mother is still alive. No matter how old I am, we're at my mom's house. If she don't like something I'm doing, she lets me know right off the bat. I don't care how many angels you've seen. I don't care how long you pastored. I will take you out. Come on, somebody. I will. Don't make me whip you in front of your wife. Come on, somebody. Anybody got a mom like that? Anybody got a mom like that? And, you know, what happens is, and Mary, now you got to get this. Mary has raised Jesus. And when you read the Gospels, we think that the way they walked around, and this, the way they walked around Jesus was they oohed and awed him all his life. They did at the end. But when he first began, they did not. You remember the story, this is at the very beginning of his ministry. You remember when Jesus, even at the end, Jesus was talking about going to be crucified and all this and that. Remember the Bible says Peter took him aside and rebuked him. You remember that? Answer me. No, you remember that? You remember that? All right. And so the Bible says he took him aside and he rebuked him. Peter rebuked the Lord. You remember it says one time his mothers and brothers came to get him because they thought he was crazy. Remember that? It's in the Bible. Read your Bible. It's in the Bible. They says they came to get him because they thought he'd lost his mind. You remember James' mother and friends' brother? They came and said, one of them said, I want one of my boys to sit on your right and I want my other boy to sit on your left. You remember that? So when they're talking to Jesus, don't think that he glowed in the dark at the beginning and they all knew. They talked to him as if he was just, a prophet. They talked to him like a normal person. You got to get that because here at the beginning, here's Mary, who Jesus had not done anything extraordinary, you know, for 30 years. She's raised him. She's fed him. She's his mama. And she starts and they run out of wine. And the Bible in the Greek says she emphatically said to him, do something about this. And he looks at her and theologically he says, it's not my time yet. It's not my, the hour is not my hour yet. It's not time yet. Now, there is a disjointed something that happens here that you got to fill in your own blank. And this is my own filling in my own blank. All right, Lord, this is not Bible. This is my own thinking. Notice what it said here. He said, woman, what does it have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now, what's the next verse? Watch how it's disjointed. And from there he arose. Did I do it? That's disjointed, yeah. That's very disjointed. In fact, I may not even put this in here. Let me back that one up. You know what I did? Do you know what Mary said? You know what Mary said? She turned and here's what she said. I don't think I put this scripture on there. I'm just going to tell it. Here's what she said. Whatever he says to her, to you, do it. Does that sound disjointed to you? He just said, not my time. My hour's not yet. And she turns from there and says, whatever he says to you, do it. And you think, he just told you, he ain't going to do nothing. Is that right? But this is his mama. Don't make me whip you. Come on, somebody. Don't make me. You know what? This was a woman now 30 years mature in the Lord. When she was a young teenage girl, when the angel said, you're going to have a baby, and it's not going to be by a human man, but it's going to be by the Spirit. She said, let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord. She was a woman of faith. She's 30 years now grown in faith. She is a mature. You know what I believe happened? I believe Jesus didn't do anything but what he heard the Father. And I believe this. She does this to him. She asks him. He says that. I believe Mary got alone with God and said, Father, would you move on your son's heart? Father, would you put a word and tell him we need a miracle now? I know it's not time, but the crisis is now. I know the normal thing is, but Lord, would you do something? And I believe a woman of faith, she put up. She got it in her heart. She got God is going to say something. God is going to do something. And she turned to those apostles and says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And I believe the Father reached down, spoke to Jesus, go ahead and give him some wine. And the Bible says, Jesus, come on, somebody, give him a good clap offering. You know what? Because I know theologically it wasn't time yet, but the crisis was now. The need was now. It wasn't a month. It wasn't a year down there. The crisis was right. And think about what it was. An insignificant thing about a wedding. It was about wine. It was about a little detail of a wedding. How many know God cares about a detail of a wedding? God will move in the details of little things in your life. It was a crisis to them. And if it's a crisis to you, it's a crisis to God. And God removed the time out of the framework because Jesus was only doing what the Father told him. It's not my hour yet. I'm not doing anything. And then the Father says, go ahead and do it, son. Let me tell you something about faith. Faith, by reaching up to God, can remove time out of the equation. I know it wasn't supposed to. I know that he knew his wasn't yet time. And yet the Bible says, the Father said, go ahead, son. I'm going to tell you something. God can remove time out of your equation. If you don't listen, you begin to do that. And so what happens is this. God reached down and began to take some time. And God will do a suddenly in your life at times. Look at Mark 7. There were people throughout the Bible that believed against hope. And God took time out of their equation. It says, and from there he arose and went away to the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. He's telling her, listen, it's a time issue. I'm going to feed the children first. It's a time issue. I'm going to give you some food, but you're not going to get it right now. It's a time. In fact, look how it's in another gospel. Go to the next scripture, if you would. And the next one, it says, go on the next scripture. It says, behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Someday my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word, but his disciples came and begged, saying, send her away, she's crying after us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what he's saying? He said, it's a time issue. He knew the day would come when God would raise up the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul would be called the Apostle of the Gentiles. And Paul would take the gospel and he would spread it to all the Gentiles. But it wasn't right. He fed the children first and then you feed the animals. You know, I don't know about you. Growing up, my dogs never got food other than what we ate. Come on, somebody. Kind of get a better amen. Everybody, they didn't have dog food when I grew up. You didn't go buy dog food when we grew up. Whatever we ate, he ate. Come on, somebody. We died of a heart attack, he died of a heart attack. Whatever we ate, he ate. And we with five kids, we had some skinny dogs. Come on, somebody. there wasn't a whole lot left over when we got done. He ate a lot of bones when we grew up. But he said, it's a time issue. He said, I would like to help you, but it's a time issue. Because I'm sent only to the house of Israel. There'll be an apostle down the road that will come and deal with the Gentiles. But this little woman, you read the rest of the story. This little woman had a crisis right, come on somebody, right now. And you know what the Bible says? She said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall. That means, you know what crumbs that fall? That means while you're eating, you know, something gets knocked off. You ever had dogs like that? Something gets knocked off the table while you're eating. I mean, it's gone before it even does it. You're not going to wait even after you wake up. It's just things that fall off the table. She said, but even dogs eat things right now. Even dogs get into it right now. And you know what the Bible says? Jesus looked at her and says, great is your faith, lady. And you know what she said? He said, I know it's a time issue, but we're suspending time. Your daughter is made well. Come on, somebody. You don't have to wait for the Apostle Paul to come to the Gentiles. You can get what you want right now. We're suspending the time element out of your life. Whoa, come on, somebody. I don't know what you're facing, but you can remove time out of the equation. You're not bound. He's not bound by it. And so she received a suddenly from the Lord. In Genesis 18, it was a time issue. In fact, I'll just tell it. In Genesis 18, Abraham is old. He's 100 years old. Sarah is 80-something years old. And he's past the time. She's past menopause. And God comes down. And listen, it's a time issue. Time has gone too long. And God comes down and says, Abraham, yes, Lord. You know that pregnancy clause? You let lapse in your insurance policy? Bad move. You better get the little room ready because Sarah's going to have a baby. Come on, somebody. You know what God did in that situation? God got away from the time and God did a miracle. And listen, God began to do away. Listen, God can reach down and take time out of the equation. In Romans 4, God took out, what's this in Romans 4? God just takes it out of the equation. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. Go on to the next one. Now, to one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Can I tell you something about David? David committed adultery. David murdered a man. Both counts under the law, he should have died. Both counts under the law. He should have been stoned and he should have been life for a life. But you know what the Bible says in Romans? It says David reached out into our generation. And you read it in the book of Romans. It says he took hold of the grace that you and I are a part of today. Come on, somebody. He needed mercy and he needed grace. And he reached out beyond his time because God is not bound by it and got a hold of our generation promises. Just as David also speaks of blessing, the one whom God counts right apart from works. Look at the next one. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. That's what David was saying. David said, you know what I've learned something about God? I learned that God can do and suspend time and it can be a suddenly. David reached out. Let me tell you something. The Bible says of Moses that before he died, 120 years old, listen to this, his eyes were not dimmed. Can I tell you something? God can suspend time on your behalf. You don't have to say, and Jasmine rebuked me this morning. I was complaining about something. She said, I got to stop that yapping, you know, whatever it was being. You know why? Because God can suspend time. You don't have to go the way of the world. Moses, the Bible says, his eyes were not dimmed. I like what Caleb said. Go to the next scripture. Caleb said this. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. Notice what he says. And I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, my strength now is my strength was then for war and for going. You know what he said? He said, I'm as strong at 85 as I was when I was 40. All the old people say amen at least. He said, I'll tell you something. I'm as good now as I was then. I can still do it. He said, I'm as strong for going out to war and going and coming as I was when I was 40 years old. You know, Joshua, I'm going to tell you something about time. God can suspend time in your life. Don't you think you got to be like everybody else? If you have you can reach up to God. Let me tell you something. God can suspend time. Joshua, one time in the book of Joshua chapter 10, it says he was fighting a battle one time with the Amalekites. And the Bible says the sun started to sink. And he cried out to God, oh God, he said, things are going good. Lord, would you stop time? And the Bible says, never has God hearkened to the voice of a man as he did that day. And for the space of a whole day, the sun stood right where it was. Come on, somebody. I don't know about that. The natural man thinks these things are folly. Of course, at the very least, God stopped the rotation of the earth. I believe God pushed it somewhere in heaven. There's a button. Stop. He just stopped. And the whole universe just stopped. Just stop. Everything's speeding out. Everything moving out. You know how fast it's all. And he just put. And nothing. Come on, somebody. He stopped time. The Bible says he stopped time. One time a king was asking, how will I know that what the Lord said to me is true? And he said, what do you want done? He said, well, you know, I see the sundial and how the sun goes down, you know, on the steps. He said, let me ask you if you really doing this, Lord, make the sun go backwards. Must have a reverse button somewhere on there too. He just pushed the reverse button. And not only did time stop, time went back. Can you imagine? You're talking about turning the Titanic. God turned the entire universe, went back. Come on, somebody. You think God can't deal with time? The Bible says they really picked up an hour. On and on. God knows how to do it right. Come on, somebody. Come on, farmers. March on Washington. March on the temple. You crops are going to burn up. You got an hour more there. So, you know, in Acts 2, let me just show how God, time is one of those things that you're feeling bad about. You've wasted it. You've misspent it. In the last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And here's where he suspends time. Your sons and your daughters, your little ones, they're not going to be 40, 50 years old to be great prophets. Your little kids, they're going to prophesy. What's this? Your young men, they're not going to be old guys to do this. Young guys are going to be able to see visions. And then he suspends it for the old people. He says, and old people are not going to think your time's past you. You're going to be getting new visions all the time. You're going to be dreaming about your future. You're going to be dreaming about what God's going to do with you and where you're going to go and what you're going to do. You're going to keep dreaming until the day God takes you home. Come on, somebody. He said, I'm just going to suspend time. I'm just going to change it all. I'm going to change everything about time. And so what happens is this. I want the musicians to come on back up this morning. You know, a couple of things. Let me end with three things this morning. The devil thought he permanently messed your life up by wasting getting you to waste your yesterday, your time, your life. Let me tell you something about God. Time is his enemy, not ours. You know what the Bible says about time? There's going to come a time when his time is short, and he's going to know it. But I don't know about me and you, but for us, time is not short, and we're not waiting to get eternal life. We have eternal life already. I'm not waiting to become everlasting. God's already given me everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have, not in the future, presently have everlasting life. First thing is in the book of Joel, God says these things. Listen, God says, I will restore to you what? I'll restore to you what? I'm going to restore something to you. He says, Some of you, whether it's your fault or somebody else's, some of you have some wasted years. Some of you have wasted time. Some of you have wasted some things. Because let me tell you what I can do, God says. I can restore that. Nothing to me. God says, time is not my boss. Time is not my master. I created that thing called time. And I will restore to you the years, the canker, the locust, all that. I will restore that thing. Listen, God will restore some things that need to be done. Number two is this. I'll help you buy back your time. Ephesians 5 says, redeeming the time. It means to buy it back. God says, I'll help you. And then I like Revelation 22, 5. This is where we're heading. I want you to hear this, because time seems to be such a dominant thing. It ticks away. It never stops, all this. But listen to what he says in Revelation. Night will be no more. They will need no light of a lamp or a sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they'll reign for how long? You know why forever and ever? It's not like it's a long, long time. That's not what forever and ever is. Forever is the eternal now. There's not going to be the passing of night and then day and day and then night and night and then day. The Bible says all of that's gone. It's going to be eternal day. There's not going to be any more night. There's not going to be any more sunrise, sunset. That song will not be sung in heaven. Come on, somebody. It'll be eternal day. Won't even be a sun anymore, because the Lamb will be the light there. Can you believe that? God himself will be the light of the universe. There won't be need of a sun and a moon to light. You know why? Because God himself will be the light. And the Lord gave me this scripture in John 6. We're going to end with this. I want everybody to stand up this morning, would you? Bring the lights down a little bit. Here's what I want to get you. Some of you think that you've gone so far away, and that your problems you're facing is because of maybe the struggle you're in, maybe and there's time issues involved here. And I'm going to tell you something. I like this scripture because there's a phrase out of it that we miss a lot of times. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. They were frightened. Now get that, because he says, don't be afraid, but they've been rowing almost all night and they'd only gotten 3 or 4 miles and the wind was against them and all that. He says, don't be afraid, do not be afraid. Verse 21. Then they were glad and to take him into the boat. And everybody say immediately. Immediately what happened? You see, I don't know about you. I thought Jesus get in there and rebuke the wind and the waves all right, guys, pick your oars up because let's get going at it. You know what he did? It takes some time to get from where they were to... Can I tell you something? You're not as far away as you think you are. Come on, somebody. You're not as far away as you think you are. But you know, we've been doing this. I know how it works. I've been rowing and struggling. And some of you think some of the struggles you are in is going to last forever. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. You're not as far away as you think. And God can suspend time to where that which seems like it would take a long time to get to where you need to go. God says, no. When I show up, when faith takes hold, when you invite Jesus in afresh and new, the Bible says their boat was immediately at the land. I had a word this morning for some of you. That's the Lord's word for you, that God is going to do something in you. He's going to suspend time. He's going to redeem time. He's going to help you buy back. He's going to restore what you've wasted. He's going to restore what's happened in your life. And he's going to make your past come around and serve your future. And everybody say amen. Would you close your eyes? Come on, Nick. Go ahead and lead us in a song. Let the Lord begin to speak to you right now. Come on.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. the whole world see. And we're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light in, let the whole world see. And we're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Now, I want you to close your eyes just a second. Whatever it is that you think is too late, can I tell you, it's never too late with Him. Oh no, Pastor, you don't. It's too late. It's not too late with God, because everything, time is at His disposal. And I know you may think that maybe it's not time yet. Listen, if the desire of your heart is there, you can reach out and God can suspend the time element in your life. He can remove that from the equation that you're factoring, you're thinking, you're planning, whether you're young or whether you're old. Paul told the young people, he said, Timothy, don't you let anybody despise your youth. Don't let the time of your life be an issue, he told Timothy. He said that God can do anything. You be a tester. God can use you. Don't you allow time to ever be an issue with you. And if you're old, God says, I can give old men, old ladies, I can give you dream. I can give you new visions. I can give you new dreams that you can dream until the end, to the very. I can re-energize your life. I can make you excited again. I can make you a future. It's not over. You think I'm three quarters over. I'm nine tenths. It doesn't matter. Get a new dream. God give you a new dream. He'll suspend time and you'll get excited about it again. David, at the end of his life, the Bible says he wanted to build a temple, and God said, you can't do it. Your son's going to do it. He got a new vision just getting all the stuff together. The Bible says he piled so much stuff. When Solomon came to the throne, he didn't have to look for nothing. David had gotten everything together and did great things in the Lord. So whatever it is the Lord's going to do in your life this morning, I want to sing that one more time. And God can take the mountains of this world and cast them into the sea of the Spirit. Whatever huge difficulty you're facing, whatever huge mountain of obstacle that's keeping you back, let me tell you, there's a spirit realm that can swallow that up. It can be cast into the sea and it's like it was never there. It's something that can be thrown into the sea of the Spirit. And that mountain that seemed like you cannot let you pass can be absolutely gone. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Put your heart, just reach out to God for your situation.
Savior, He can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save.
Oh, mighty.
He is mighty to save.
Yeah.
Author of salvation, and He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Give Him a good clap offering this morning. All right, turn around and give somebody a high five. Would you do that? Give somebody a high five this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed. You go in the name of the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night.